You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gracias por escuchando, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Any questions, you Anthony Davis doubters? Any questions, Steve Mason, who compared him to Yusuf Nurkic and said Nurkic is just as good as Anthony Davis? Take that, you haters.
All right, I want to mention something right off the top before we get going.
Okay, what's that?
Today, something we say between now and 3:15 will be on the quiz.
Ooh.
That will give you a chance
and
to
today's
win.
Today's the day, right?
Yeah, we're doing the quiz. The brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from OC Mazda. Be listening to everything. There's a question from each day this week, and then at 3:15 is the quiz. Something we say between now and then will be on the quiz, and you got a chance to win one of only four keys that could start the 2021 Mazda CX-30. John, Lakers blow out Portland last night.
Not close.
You mentioned Anthony Davis, 13 of 21, 3 of 4 from 3, 31-11, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Aggressive all night. He got into that post position, and instead of taking those off-balance fadeaway sort of mid-range shots, he went to the rack, which is what we were looking for all along, an aggressive Anthony Davis.
Right, and they really didn't even need LeBron. You know, LeBron, LeBron scored 10 points, which is the lowest total he's ever had in a playoff game, and they didn't need him. You know, when LeBron and AD were on the floor together,
yep.
They were on the floor together for 18 minutes. Normally, it's much longer, but they were so far ahead they didn't need them. The Lakers had an offensive rating of 146.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
and
crazy.
A defensive rating of 77. Basically, that meant they would have won the game by 70 points had those guys played the whole game.
Okay, want a sassy stat?
Sassy stat. Let me hear it.
AD scored 30 and 10 in 30 minutes or less, the first Laker to do that since 1975.
Yeah, since Kareem, and he actually, you shortchanged him. He had 31 and 11.
31 and 11 in yeah. 30 minutes less?
Less, 29.
Wow, yeah. I mean, he had just an absolutely dominating night. And I thought defensively, that was the other story of last night. That defense played one of the best offensive teams in the league, held them to just 88. Lakers picked up the pace. They wore out the Blazers. They did a great job on Lillard and C.J. McCollum. Lakers picked up Dame full court some of the time. They trapped him. They turned him. They hectored him all night long. And he finished with just 18 points for Dame Lillard last night. So a tremendous defensive performance for the Lakers, too.
Well, I'm glad you noticed, because most people don't notice that stuff. You know, since allowing the Blazers 36 points in the first quarter of Game 1, the Lakers have basically locked them down. All right, so in the 8 seeding games, Portland shot 48% from the field, 41% from 3, and here's the big number. They averaged 126 points in the bubble. Okay, 126.
Yep.
In 2 games against the Lakers, they're averaging 94. They're holding them 32 points below
wow.
their average.
Wow.
They're holding them to 39% field goal, 31% from three. And last night, as you alluded to, they really locked up Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, 12 of 30, just 2 of 12 from three. And Carmelo has been a complete non-factor.
Yeah.
Coming
yeah.
into the series, he was averaging 16 points a game. He's 4 of 17 from the field. Gary Trent shot over 50% from behind the arc in those 8 seeding games.
Yep.
He's only had 13 points in 2 games. You know, they're playing great defensively. And having said all this, Mace, you know, we're blowing their horn. It's 1-1.
It's 1-1.
They got to
yeah.
do it again tomorrow.
But I feel so much better. Feel so much better. By the way, Anthony Davis, I'll cue Jorge about this. Anthony Davis did a walk-off interview last night with Cassidy Hubbard on ESPN.
Hubbard.
Sorry about that. And he said he wanted to make sure that they didn't go down 2 games.
You never want to go down 0-2 in a series. And our mantra this entire season is never lose two in a row. And that was our mindset coming to the game. Our benches has been one of the best benches in the bubble as far as the motivation and the fan noise, you know, that we're not able to get. So it was good. You know, guys was cheering each other on, and we were able to come get a big win.
And he says they were scrappy last night.
We just try to go out and do things that other teams can't do, you know. And when we, you know, we have such a talented team, you know, and we still try to play scrappy. And when you have a team that's talented and play scrappy, it's very tough to beat them. So that's kind of been our mindset for the entire playoffs.
All right, and so then, here's the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, you can break it down to this. Last night, the Lakers shot 48% from the field, which was their average during the season. And they shot 38% from three.
Yeah.
Okay. During the season, 27 times they shot better than 35%. Last night was the 28th.
From three.
Take a guess at what their record is in those 28 games. So whatever your guess is, whenever they shoot 35% or more from three. So whatever your answer is, it's got a total 28.
Total 28. I will say 20 times.
28, no.
Yeah. They just got to shoot good enough. Because they were fine last night. KCP had a really good night, hold on, Mace.
I got that saucy stat wrong.
Yeah,
All right, what is it? They're 28-4. Now, yeah. They're 28-0 when they shoot 50% or better from the field. And last night, the starters, just the Lakers starters, shot 54%. This is a long, fancy way of saying, if they make shots... If they make their open shots,
yes,
it's over.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't hang with them because they're LeBron and AD are too good, and then you can double and triple and do whatever you want to do to them. But if those other guys, like KCP last night, going 4 of 6 from three,
sure,
was a huge difference maker. In the first game he was 0 for 9. Last night he was 5 for 8.
Yep.
4 of 6 from 3.
His AD, plus minus, 3 of 4 from three.
KCP's plus minus last night was plus 24.
J.R. Smith got run last night.
Yeah.
He was 3 of 9.
Swish to you.
They shot 37 from beyond the arc. Still troubled Danny Green, 1 of 4.
Beyond
the arc.
Like Michael was saying during the game, they were so far ahead, they should have just fed Danny Green and tried to get him going.
Yeah, he's now 6 of 37 in the bubble for 16%.
He'll come around.
Which is incredible, especially consider. And I'll tell you, last night was a good sign because from the trade deadline to the shutdown in March, the Lakers were 22nd in offensive efficiency, and they were last in offense during the seeding games. They maybe have finally snapped out of it. Now, here's what's interesting. At no point last night did I detect that LeBron activated playoff LeBron.
They didn't need him.
They didn't need him. They didn't need playoff LeBron last night. They had playoff AD.
Yeah, if I was the Blazers, I'd be very scared about that. They got blown out in a game where LeBron was no factor.
Scored 10 points. And
so
still,
imagine a game where LeBron is LeBron.
Yep.
You know, I felt good about the Lakers yesterday. So did you. You predicted a blowout.
Yeah, I did.
Most people, but you were panicked.
I won mythical money on it, too. Yep. I won $2,500 on it.
Good for you.
-6.5.
Most people, you admitted to being a little panicked. I think a lot of Laker fans were panicked. Charles Barkley's walking around the studio with a broom. LZ's declaring Anthony Davis can't play in the postseason. It's everybody's worried. Last night was the Laker team we saw all year.
Okay, but here's the thing. Now, you've got to be in a certain... you've got to be in a certain mode because of your relationship with the team.
True.
We're allowed to ride the highs and the lows. And to me, that's one of the fun things about covering sports and talking about sports and following sports and being a fan is riding those highs and lows. Like, last night was exciting. It was fun. When it doesn't go well, I am depressed and sad. I'm like that with all of my teams. And so you can't hold me responsible for what I said after a loss when they turn around and win.
Yes, I
can.
All
that stuff is in the past.
Because it's sports radio, and that's what we do.
It is what we do. You're right.
We tie you to your positions and sink you over the side of the boat.
All right.
Hey, before we break, let me just throw this out, because this applies to a very, very small portion of the audience, but I want to get it out there. The all-time record, Mace, ever in the history of golf for lowest score in one round is 58. Like, it happened like 10 years ago. Some guy shot 58, Jim Furyk. Right now, Dustin Johnson is in the second round of a tournament. He's 11 under after 13 holes. If he keeps up this pace, he'll shatter the all-time record. So if you care about golf, that's on Golf Channel right now. That's the only time I'll mention it until it's over. I'll let you know. I'll let you know if he pulls it off.
Let me know if somebody else does it.
You don't like Dustin Johnson?
I've got nothing against Dustin Johnson.
Yeah. He's married to Paulina Gretzky.
I just think the golf thing, you know, golf thing is a you thing. And by the way, that doesn't mean I don't think we should cover golf. You talk about golf and
I put it out there so if people want to turn it on, they can, and I'll let you know if he pulls it off.
My favorite golfer is Bryson DeChambeau. How's he doing?
He's not doing as well as Dustin Johnson in this.
His brother is a regular listener to the show.
I've heard that. Yeah, he was mad when I said Bryson DeChambeau might be on steroids.
Yeah, and again, you turned around and you said it again.
No. I don't know if he is or not. He says he's not. So, I mean, I'll take him at his word, but he's driving the ball farther than anyone ever.
Yeah. All right, so
I like him. I root for him. I like guys who rock the boat. I like Trevor Bauer. I like Bryson DeChambeau. I like guys who show personality.
We've got an incredibly busy show today. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you very much for being out there. Bryan Cranston's going to join us at 3:30 today. He's got a brand new movie out, so we'll get his take. He's a huge Dodger fan. See what he thinks about the Dodgers start. They won again last night.
Do you know the name of Cranston's new movie?
It's called The One and Only Ivan.
Okay. Google The One and Only Ivan reviews. Okay?
Oh, okay.
It is getting... rave is not a strong enough word. People love this movie.
Oh, nice.
It's about Cranston with a gorilla. I mean, we'll ask him about it when he comes on, but it's getting great reviews, like over-the-top great reviews.
So that's at 3:30. Coming up at 1:30, we got Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN.
Arnovitz!
At 2:15, Jeff Van Gundy's going to be with us, and then Bryan Cranston at 3:30.
Wow.
So it is a monster show.
This is the first big step to giving away the car.
Correct. All of that is today.
This is like a real show.
This is where it's all happening. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason Ireland, what is going on? It is a monster Friday. We've stacked this show for you people. Our first week back in middays is officially coming to an end. A little bit later on, again, pay attention to everything we say. Something's going to be in the pop quiz, 3:15, chance to win the Mazda CX-30 from OC Mazda, so stay tuned and stay paying attention. Last night, a very, very good night for the Dodgers as they continue to do what they've been doing. They shut down the Mariners 6-1, classic Clayton Kershaw performance, 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts. He improves to 3-1, and here was the big strikeout from last night.
Got him to chase the slider, strike 3, and Clayton Kershaw stands alone in second place in the Dodger all-time list for strikeouts, 2,487, passing Don Drysdale.
So he trails only Don Sutton now in franchise history. Sutton has about a 200 strikeout lead on Kershaw for the all-time record, most strikeouts in a Dodger uniform.
I'm going to take a shot here.
Okay.
Word association. I'm writing this down because I think I'm going to nail it. What is the first word you think of when I say Don Sutton?
Fro.
I put perm. Will the judges accept perm? I think so.
See, yeah, I mean, it's the same idea.
Fro and perm are the same thing, right?
Yeah. He's got that old Oscar Gamble
hat. He had the Mike Brady perm.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. By the way, everybody in my family got that perm.
Everybody did. It was like 1970, whatever, 77 or 76, something like that. Everybody in the family got a perm except me. My brother Travis, my brother Brian, my dad, they all had the Mike Brady look. I'm like, guys, someday you're going to dread these photos.
Looking back on it, that's one decision you got 100% right.
Yeah, like, there is no way.
If I look back at old pictures, I'm like, what am I wearing in that thing? But but no perm was a good move by you.
By the way, also a great sign last night for Cody Bellinger. He came out of the box ice cold last night, 2 for 3, an RBI single and a home run.
Bellinger now deep to right. Cody Bellinger for the second game in a row has gone deep. And the Dodgers lead it 6-1 on his sixth home run of the season.
And here is Bellinger talking a little bit about his batting stance.
Analyzing every at-bat by not results and just kind of going off feel. And if the feel is off, then talking to the hitting coaches and discuss it. And it's a tough game, so it's not to get too up or down.
Dodgers are 19-8, best record in baseball, 4 games up on the Padres in the West. Colorado at Dodgers Stadium tonight, John Gray versus Walker Buehler. And Buehler has not yet gotten it into gear. So maybe we will see that tonight
at
Dodgers Stadium.
That, you know, they haven't needed it. You know, they have the best record, and he can work his way up.
Yeah, I mean, they've got guys giving him, you know, quality, you know, Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin, and Ross Stripling had a dud this week. But, I mean, for the most part, that starting pitching has held together really, really well, despite the fact that David Price opted out. They've just got so much depth
right now. I totally forgot he opted out.
Yeah, David Price opted out, and still they're playing really well. So good news for the Dodgers. And, John, I think I'm going to lose a mythical money bet to you. I said the Dodgers will finish less than 5 games up in the National League West.
You know what your hope is the slamming San Diego Padres, who have now hit 4 grand slams in their last 4 games.
They are good.
They're your
man.
Hope. They're your chance to win that bet. They could be within 5. I think they might make the playoffs.
What bugs me is here, you know, John, the NBA does such a great marketing job. They market their stars. And the stars, by the way, market themselves, too, on top of everything else. Baseball has got these great young players. They've got a player like Vlad Guerrero Jr. They've got a player.
Fernando Tatis.
They've got a player like Mookie Betts. They've got unbelievably marketable personalities, and yet baseball doesn't market them. And if I was baseball, I would actually teach an off-season clinic every year on how to engage with fans on social media the way Trevor Bauer does.
Yeah,
mixing it up.
Lesson one of your seminar: don't tell Trevor Bauer he can't wear fun cleats.
Correct. But I mean, you know, we talk about building a brand a lot. Like I've got, John, one of the best brands in the business, don't I? I mean, seriously, when you think brand, you think me.
Yeah.
People know my brand. So, but everybody, when you create a brand, it's not just for yourself, it's for your sport, it's for your team. That's why, you know, it'd be nice to see Mike Trout get out there. I hope, Vlad, I hope that Fernando Tatis Jr. gets out there, because he is the face of baseball. Ronald Acuna Jr., Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. We've got all these great young players now in Major League Baseball. Start selling them. These guys.
You know what I figured out about Mike Trout?
What?
You know what his comp is in the NBA?
Tim Duncan.
Kawhi.
Oh, yeah, Kawhi.
Hall of Fame talent, unbelievable player, might be the best player in the league, just not a talker.
Yep. Just not a talker.
Or Tim Duncan's good, too. Yeah, that's a good comp, too.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the best player of the game is so quiet, but there are other players, and there are other ways to sell this sport. So we've got Kevin Arnovitz coming up here in a minute. Did the Mavericks and the Clippers play again tonight?
They do, 6:00. I think the
Go Clippers, Mavs.
Yeah, I think the Clippers are going to win. But if Dallas wins, I think that puts real doubt in the heads of the Clippers, because it would mean that Dallas really should be up 3-0.
Yes,
they were winning big in the game where Kristaps Porzingis got unfairly thrown out by the refs, and then they dominated game two. So if the Mavericks win tonight, that's a big deal. I don't think they're going to win.
I think the Clippers are in trouble. I think Dallas is going to win again tonight. And John, I'm telling you, all along I've said, I hope the Clippers get bounced early.
You have. This nothing has been a thing with you. That's
nothing
true.
Would make me happier than to see the Clippers get bounced and still
you
not get past the
this
second round.
Months ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we may not be seeing the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals after all. I'm rooting like hell for Dallas. Rooting like hell for Dallas.
They're easy to root for. Luka's a really fun player to watch. Rick Carlisle's a great coach.
Porzingis is fantastic.
Yeah, they have Seth Curry, Steph's brother, who's really fun to watch, and a really good 3-point shooter. So they're easy. And they have Boban. Who doesn't like Boban?
Who doesn't love Boban? Exactly. And Boban's making an impact in these games. All right, coming up next for you, our friend Kevin Arnovitz is going to join us. We will talk about what went on last night down in the bubble between the Lakers and Blazers. Lakers-Blazers now 1-1 in this first round series in the Western Conference. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And the Lakers blow out Portland 111-88 last night. Anthony Davis absolutely dominating. This is the performance we were waiting for from him. Aggressive all night long, got into the post, didn't take those off-balance fadeaway mid-range shots, went to the rack. Lakers defense great, shut down one of the best offensive teams in the league, held them to just 88 points. Lakers picked up the pace and really wore the Blazers out as that game went along, and it was no contest by the time we got to the end of it.
By the way, the 14 threes that the Lakers hit last night is a new team record in the playoffs. The Lakers have never made 14 threes before in a playoff game, which isn't very many in the modern era, but for them, it is. And by making 14 of 38, they shot 38%. And
yeah,
this year, when they shoot better than 35%, they almost always win. 28-4 now.
You know what sucks? Your stats are sassier than mine today.
Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
I have a I do a bunch of homework for every game.
Sure.
I have kind of a crazy couple of days coming up, so I did my homework for tomorrow night already.
Oh, so you're prepped.
Yes.
You're ready to go.
I have sheets and sheets of sassy stats ready to go for tomorrow
night. Nice.
So that's what kind of leads to it.
Yeah, the sassy stats. I don't know who invented sassy stats, but I kind of like it.
Morales did.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, don't forget you can win a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from OC Mazda. Something we say today is going to be on the quiz at 3:15 today. There'll be a question for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today. If you can answer all five of them right, you will win a $100 gas card plus one of four keys that could start the 2021 Mazda CX-30 from OC Mazda. John Patterson, great guy, helping us with the new launch of the show back in the old times. And by the way, this new lineup is fantastic. I've been listening a lot. I've been listening. I have to say that the Zubin and Jay and Keyshawn show is not in my waking hours.
Oh, I watched it this
morning. That doesn't happen when I'm awake. Yeah. Yeah, I'm never awake at that time.
I'm always awake at that time. By the way, can I circle back to the car we're giving away?
Yeah.
You know what the cool thing about that is? Almost always over the years, when you hear about a radio or a TV station giving away a car,
yep,
you have like a 1 in 100 chance. Like they'll give away 100 keys,
yep,
or 75 keys. I don't remember a promotion giving away a car where there are only four keys. If you get one of the keys, so you're telling me that the person that answers the quiz correctly today,
yep,
gets one of four keys?
Yep, you got a 25% chance.
To win a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
That just does not happen in life.
John, how long will it take for the Lakers to beat the Blazers? Five games, seven games.
I told you from the beginning, six. Lakers,
what do you think?
Six.
What do you think the people say?
You switched over to Lakers in six, didn't you? After they lost,
I did. After they lost the one, I switched to six. Yeah.
I think now is this poll conducted before or after last night?
after last night. There's either 5 games, 6 games, or 7 games.
What do you think people say? I'll still stick with 6. I think most people are with me.
Most people are with you. 47% say 6 games, 40% say 5 games, and only 5% say 7 games.
There you go. All right, so one of our favorite guys is online, Kevin Arnovitz. We love talking NBA with Kevin. Kevin is the former man behind the Heat Index. When LeBron was playing in Miami,
right.
Kevin was paid top dollar by ESPN to monitor their every move, and now he is nice enough to join us on Mason and Ireland. Arnovitz, how are you?
I'm well. How are y'all?
We're good and glad to have you. So let me start with this. Lindsay insists, our producer insists, and so does Joe Varden, who we had on the show yesterday, that we have not seen playoff LeBron. I thought his numbers in the first game, Kevin, were kind of off the chart. He had a huge triple-double with 16 rebounds and 17 assists, and he had 23 points, but they both insist the LeBron that shows up normally in the playoffs has not shown up yet. Do you buy that? You've seen a lot of LeBron playoff games. Is LeBron in playoff mode in your opinion?
No, I think that's a fair characterization. You know, with LeBron, it's interesting. It's not, there are moments in the first two games where you've seen playoff LeBron. It's not so much, to me, it's an issue of frequency, right? Like, okay, X number of possessions you're going to see playoff LeBron. I think now later in his career, he approaches it with some selectivity. And he is certainly being selective. Maybe that's because he's pacing himself. You know, maybe that's because, hey, it's important to instill certain guys on the floor with certain opportunities. Sometimes you're even testing your teammates, et cetera. And I think that's kind of what's going on here. I wouldn't call it a throat clearing, but he's being more selective with applying kind of full force LeBron, and I think that's very. I think Joe and Lizzie are correct.
Kevin Arnovitz is with us from ESPN, basketball analyst, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So Anthony Davis last night really, really had a killer night, and you got to wonder what went on between game one and two. He had to have heard that criticism, that sort of drumbeat out there. Anthony Davis is one of the 5 best players in the world right now and didn't play like it in game one. Do you think he's going to be able to maintain consistency during this postseason?
Yeah, I think so long as he's healthy. It's interesting. He's sort of, and it sounds crazy to sound because we're in the playoffs and he's been around the league. I still think he's trying to figure out, you know, sort of his pure function on this team. I thought it was particularly interesting that when they went without a center late in the second, late in the third, the team played some of its best ball. Also, what happens, you know, he played such great defensive ball last night and probably lost within the stat line. You know, when you have those centers off the floor, now you're functionally the 5. That means you're going to be guarding more pick and roll action. And he was so good at that last night. I mean, Portland got nothing out of their pick and roll game. And I mean, you have to watch Portland and know them offensively to know, you know, how rare that is. They just got nothing. And honestly, every time, you know, Dame or CJ, one of those guys, turned the corner, you know, AD was just doing his thing. He was both simultaneously cutting off a drive and kind of cutting off, you know, and also just sort of, you know, pressuring at the point of attack. And he's just able to cover a lot of ground and do a lot as a pick-and-roll defender, as the big man who's got sort of little man quickness and if need be. So I still think it's figuring out a role. He's a guy who's always had this sort of fight the demons on, well, I'm kind of a – look, I even talked to him a couple years ago, his last couple months in New Orleans, where he's like, look, I still think I'm a power forward. And I think getting him comfortable with knowing, you know, no, your function on this team is going to be different. Our best chance to win is if you're the biggest guy on the floor for us and we can surround you with more offensive threats.
We're talking to Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN. Kevin, you just touched on – yeah, you just answered part of this question, but I want to have you elaborate more. The defense for the Lakers has been suffocating. Portland was averaging 126 points a game in the bubble in those 8, and for them, 9 seeding games, 126. In 2 games against the Lakers, they're averaging 94. In the 88 they scored last night, they hadn't been held under 90 the entire season. What are the Lakers doing defensively that is shutting them down to that point when they're 30-plus points lower than what we've seen?
I mean, the Lakers have been a really good transition defensive team in the last couple of games. I mean, look, Portland's not a run-you-out kind of team, but they do get a lot of those early offense, you know, those pull-ups you see with with Dame, the sort of, you know, CJ sort of dancing in transition and then kind of either, you know, going to the hole or sidestepping for a jumper. I mean, they've cut off a lot of that stuff. I mean, partly is they've got some really good transition defenders. I've always said that I think Danny Green's the best transition defender guard in the league. So they've been really sensible in that way. Number two, aforementioned, right? Like, Anthony Davis is one of three or four best defensive players in the game. And not only is he on a given possession, it's he can operate both as a rim protector and sort of use his length and quickness to cut off drives as well from higher up on the floor. When LeBron is engaged, and look, LeBron's the smartest basketball player in the world, and so much of defense is just being intelligent. It's not, yes, it's effort, but I think you can actually all overcome, you know, whatever you've lost in terms of a step by virtue of your instinct, and he's doing that. And look, when their big guys are on the floor, they're pretty damn good at protecting the rim. McGee's had a good season defensively. I mean, you know, Dwight's not a guy who makes it easy to score inside of 10 feet. KCP is a pretty good defender. I'm not going to put him on my all defensive team, but they don't have a lot of weak links as they have in past seasons.
Right.
So, but that pick and roll defense last night was just really strong. Portland got nothing out of something that they subsist on, not just subsist on, thrive on. And that was just good communication, AD being AD, and just guys kind of, you know, taking care of business at the point of attack. And that, you know, so much of this game is not heroics. It's like taking big rocks and turning them into little rocks. I mean, hell, if you can defend the pick and roll 65 times a game, you're going to win a ton of playoff games.
Kevin Arnovitz is with us, ESPN NBA analyst, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I ask you about a different series here tonight. The Clippers are going to take on the Dallas Mavericks in game three of their series. Dallas has been the better team, I would argue, in this series, with the exception of the stretch where Porzingis was ejected from the game near the end of game one. Are the Clippers in trouble?
I think the Clippers have to be really careful. I don't think you're in trouble when you're 1-1 and you're still the Clippers with their personnel. But I think they've realized this notion that this vaunted defensive team, and they're going to be able to win games defensively. They've got all these guys who can guard, you know, multiple positions. It doesn't matter with Doncic. And I think this idea that they can just kind of show up and just by virtue of their individual defensive prowess be able to some collectivize that into a win, baloney. Like, they're going to have to play an even better brand of great defense. It's funny. The Lakers actually ranked higher than the Clippers in defense this season. We just assume Paul George plus Pat Beverly plus obviously Kawhi Leonard, you know, plus a guy like Morris and his toughness, and, you know, Zubac is actually, you know, pretty good defensively and can protect the rim. You just assume this is going to be the greatest vaunted defense of all time, and it's not. And they're going to have to figure some things out. They play the switching. And you know what? And as a result, Doncic is looking at a lot of Lou Williams. He's looking at a lot of backpedaling Zubac. We're not seeing Kawhi and Paul George. You know, when it is time for Doncic to sort of make a decision in the half court, he's not facing those guys. And I think they're going to have to figure out what to do in order to put their best defenders in a position to cover maybe the most transcendent offensive player in the game right now outside of Damian Lillard. I mean, what Doncic is able to do to control the entire game. I mean, he's got these Hall of Famers on the other side, and it's Doncic's game. The game is fast when he wants it to be fast. It is precise and sort of, I'm going to carve you up in the half court when he wants that. It is unbelievable. And I think, I wouldn't say they're in trouble, but I would say that they're going to have to basically be extremely clever and extremely smart to overcome, frankly, the best offensive player on the floor. It's not Kawhi Leonard. It's not Paul George. It's Luka Doncic.
We're talking to Kevin Arnovitz. Kevin, last thing for me, I'm going to play something. You probably have already heard this, but I'll play for the audience, that Adam Silver said last night in an interview with Rachel Nichols. The NBA had announced they wanted to try and start next season by December 1st, and it sounds like that's out the window. Here's Adam Silver.
December 1, now that we're working through this season, is feeling a little bit early to me. I think our number one goal is to get fans back in our arenas. My sense is, in working with the Players Association, if we could push back even a little longer and it increased the likelihood of having fans in arenas, that's what we would be targeting.
All right, Kevin, so is he talking about Christmas? Is he talking about January, February? How do you interpret what he said last night?
I've been talking to several people around the league with different teams who kind of operate the business side, and I mean, what he's basically saying, and by the way, it's not so they can get fans in the building so fans can enjoy themselves. The problem is a lot of these teams count on an exceptional amount of their revenue. You think about Golden State, from people in the building. I mean, Golden State, $8-10 million a night in revenue. It's kind of this urban legend. You don't even know what the number is, but you know it's a lot. They're going to have to buy as much time as they can so that whether it's a vaccine, whether it's prophylactics that work really well and people start feeling comfortable going into crowded public spaces again. And that's what he's saying is, basically what he's saying is, we don't think there's a chance in hell that by December 1st, there's going to be, that people are going to be in the mood to come out
and
pack arenas. And, you know, there's this debate going on between different teams, whether we can do this with 5,000 in the arena and kind of social distance our way back, or if it's not even worth opening these buildings until they can be at capacity. And what he's basically saying is we need to buy as much time as possible. And if they can, if they feel like, okay, by March 1st, we can get these buildings open, they will wait. And they will just have a summer season, essentially spring and summer season. But what he knows is what everyone knows is that no one is going to be crawling to come back into arenas with 16,000 of their closest friends on December 1st. It's not going to happen. There's nothing medically or in the culture that suggests we're anywhere close to that. So I think we're looking at, I mean, look, I'd be shocked if it were before February 1st.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
All right. Hey, listen, Arnovitz, Kevin Arnovitz, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Kevin. Right. Great stuff, as usual.
Yeah, always great stuff.
Hey, Mace, you know what that means if Kevin's right?
What?
I'll tell you next.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland, what is up? It is Friday, gearing up for the weekend. The Lakers are now even with the Portland Trail Blazers after a dominating performance last night. The Dodgers win again last night, 6-1. Clayton Kershaw now the second on the all-time list for most strikeouts as a Dodger. He passes Don Drysdale last night, and the Dodgers have the best record in Major League Baseball. And, John, you said something that Kevin said triggered something in your head.
Right. So nobody that I know loves the Olympics more than you.
Correct.
Of all my friends, you're the one who has, like, the most passion for the Olympics.
Yep. I've done seven of them.
If the NBA starts in March, you know, the Olympics are supposed to be in July. Now, they may get canceled again. They may show, but I think they're going to try and have them.
Yep.
If the Olympics are in July, that means it's the end of NBA players in the Olympics, which I don't think. Greeny, I don't know if you've heard Greeny's new radio show. It's really good.
Yeah, it's excellent.
He was talking about this morning on his show, and I agree with him. I think that would be a good thing to get the NBA players out of the Olympics. The greatest Olympic story ever is the 1980 hockey team. I don't think we'd win a lot of gold medals without our NBA players, but keep in mind the other countries
have their NBA
players.
Yeah.
Luka would be out. The Gasol brothers would be out.
Yep.
You know, so it would turn it into basically an amateur tournament with younger college type players. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but you're the guy who loves the Olympics. Would you have a problem with all the great NBA stars who go to the Olympics and being no longer able to go?
Have never had a gigantic pull towards seeing all of the gigantic NBA stars at the Olympics.
Me either. And by the way, this is nothing against them. They, and the person that pops into my head is Kobe. They've honored it. Like Kobe,
sure.
Kobe would go to, remember he would take his daughters to go watch Michael Phelps swim and he would go,
oh, sure.
He would take them to all the women's games.
Oh, I remember the whole U.S. men's Olympic team was there when Lisa Leslie won her fourth gold medal with the U.S.
Giving her
women's
a standing
team.
Ovation.
Standing
was,
ovation, yeah.
It was super cool. And there was always something fun about watching those guys walk in
yep.
the opening ceremonies and take pictures with like the women's gymnastic team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that part I would miss, but I've always, and Greeny made this point this morning, I've always thought, and I think you do too, that the Olympics should be the pinnacle of your life. The greatest thing that you can
completely
achieve.
Agree.
And it's not that for NBA players. No NBA player, no matter what they say, would ever trade an NBA championship for an Olympic gold medal.
Nope.
And I don't like that. That's why I don't think golf needs to be in the Olympics. Nobody's going to trade in a green jacket for a gold medal. I don't necessarily think, you know, the baseball story was great when Tommy Lasorda took those amateurs.
Oh, it was fantastic.
And won the Olympic gold medal. If you want to do that, I'm fine with that. Like the underdog story.
Yep.
But that this would end USA basketball or alter it forever.
Well, alter it forever. It wouldn't end it. In fact, you could argue that next group of players being part of USA basketball is going to make them much, much better players.
Right. And it would, like, so if it was this year, if the Olympics were this year, it would be like LaMelo and all the guys.
I don't know. LaMelo's going to get drafted.
No, but I mean, if the Olympics would have gone down this summer, I'm saying.
Oh, this summer,
as
right.
As they were scheduled.
Right.
But so it'll be next year's amateur class, and I think that's fine.
I do, too.
I'm sure the Olympics loved having that star power, in particular the next Olympics, which is probably going to be at least with socially distanced fans.
Yeah.
Would love the star power, but they would be unable to access it if the NBA played through the summer.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, the one thing I love about the Olympics is the unpredictability of it. And
right.
There is no unpredictability when you are lining up the greatest NBA stars
never,
in the world
great point,
to play
never
for the
has
U.S.
Been. The minute 1992 rolled around, you know what people talk about that dream team and how great it was with Jordan
sure.
and Barkley? A team never got within 30 of them.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to me that would
yeah,
be a
let's
small
let's
thing
have some
in
unpredictability. Let's have a level playing field. Let's see some stars made. Let's see some stars crowned at the Olympics. And let's have that era of unpredictability where the United States is not guaranteed a gold medal.
Right, like tennis. Tennis doesn't need to be in the Olympics.
You know,
nobody's going to trade Wimbledon for a gold medal.
No, of course not. But I have no issue with tennis being part of the Olympics. I have no issue with golf. You know, the golfers that are there all think it's pretty cool.
Well, of course they do. The basketball players do.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that don't you think the Olympics should be the crowning achievement of your life? Like, if you win a gold medal, it should be what everybody knows you for.
Although, think about this.
It shouldn't be a line on your resume.
Gold medal is something that that we use on NBA players' resumes. And he won two gold medals. And he won a gold medal in – and he led them to three. Somebody's got three, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. The fact that you don't know who it is interesting because what everybody says about that guy is never won an NBA title. They don't even acknowledge his three gold medals. It's Carmelo.
Oh, Carmelo. Is he the only guy with three?
I think so. I think he's the only guy with three NBA gold medals. There may be one other guy I'm not thinking of, but I'm pretty sure Melo's the guy.
Yeah, no, he won three golds and one bronze. He was part of that 2004 team that was just a disaster.
Yeah,
But he won in Beijing, London, and Rio.
I think LeBron only has two.
Yeah. It does complete a resume, I think.
Which is fine. If they find a way to get the NBA players into the Olympics, I'm not going to yell at it. But I've always thought that, like what you said, it takes all the suspense out of it when we send those guys.
Well, it's virtually impossible, too. I mean, if the season lines up the way it does, if they do start, as Kevin Arnovitz said, as late as February.
Kevin said March.
March. There is no way that the NBA season is going to finish before the Olympic Games. And again, we don't know if they're going to be Olympics yet. I pray to God there's going to be a vaccine and some clarity and some good health news that comes in the next 6 months that makes it so we have to worry about this less. I really want there to be an Olympics because I think, you know, like everything else, it is bringing a sense of normalcy to the world when we need it the most. I've got so many friends and John, you, of course, who are locked into games once as every night. Well, okay, what are the games? Right. What are the games? It's like I got Lakers, I got Clippers, I've got Dodgers, I've got their games on every single night. It's like finally I'm like at the sports buffet, and I'm eating as much as I possibly can because there is so much good stuff here, but John, I wouldn't throw out golf. I wouldn't throw out, you know, I've got friends that do those events, golf, tennis, some of those things, all good. But basketball, it's just not going to happen. And with no college basketball this year, or do we know if there's no college basketball this year?
There's none. Like UCLA, for example, has said they're not going to play in the 2020 calendar year. So if they start, but they're holding that hope they can start it up in January.
And now, by the way, do you see they're starting to – the Pac-12 is starting to explore the idea of closed stadiums and bubbles for their games.
I think they have to.
Yeah, where they would play, they would have four venues, and teams would play. There would be two games a day at each venue, and they would play out an eight-game season and ultimately have a Pac-12 champion. They're expecting to do that as soon as January, potentially starting, not even waiting to the spring, but playing football in a bubble environment coming in January. So this college football odyssey with the coronavirus is continuing to unfold. Pac-12, Big Ten obviously have moved to spring, or at least until January. The SEC, the ACC, the Big 12 still think they're going to play.
And I think they have to exhaust all options. I have no problem with them looking at everything. They have
all right,
to.
Coming up next for you is The Scoop. All the stuff we haven't talked about yet. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.